Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Judges and chapter number 17, and let me read verse 6 tonight. Verse number 6 of Judges, chapter number 17. We may want to look at other verses this evening as we go through the message. I have other verses looked at tonight as well. Judges chapter 17 and verse number 6. Verse number 6. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This morning I announced that I'd be preaching tonight upon the subject, doing right can become a problem. And now you see where I'm getting my thought from. The Bible says every man did that which was right. Now they did that which was right, but the problem was it was in their own eyes. And that's where doing right can become a problem. And so I've already given you the answer, or rather the reason for such a weird title, haven't I? Doing right can become a problem. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we bow to tonight to thank you for your goodness again, for another service. And Lord, we give you thanks for the answer to prayer that we witnessed today on the part of our two dear church members there in the hospital. We thank you for what you've done in answering prayer. And now, Lord, tonight, I pray that you will bless us and help us to not only understand your word, but to see the application that can be made this evening to our lives. If there happens to be anyone here this evening that has never met the Master in salvation, may tonight be the night that they meet him in whom to know is life eternal. Lord, meet the needs this evening and bless the service. Thank you for the kids that just sang, and thank you for the blessing of their involvement in the service. Now, Lord, bless us now tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Judges is one of the darkest books in the Bible, the book of Judges. The book of Judges describes a period in Israel's history that they had no strong godly leader. And the problem was the times in which they lived. Instead of having a strong godly leader, the people chose to follow the dictates of their own heart. They did that which was right in their own eyes. And that's always going to be a recipe for disaster, when a person does right in their own eyes. You see, we really do not have within us the ability to do anything right apart from divine guidance. Anytime we try to do anything right, we're going to mess it up for sure, unless God is directing and working in our lives. When a person is left to himself, that person will find themselves invariably in deep trouble. This was a case of Israel. Consider the case of Israel's history. Prior to this time, Israel had been blessed time and time again. Israel had been given the land of Canaan. Israel had gone into the land. Israel had experienced victory over enemies. Israel had been given the law. Israel had been just time after time blessed by God. They'd been given the commandments. He gave them the law. And God was good to Israel. But yet, the people still chose to do right in their own eyes. They forgot about doing right in God's eyes. They got sidetracked by siding with the enemies that were in the land. If you read the book of Judges, you will find that what happened, the people initially feared the enemies. They feared the enemies. As time progressed, they began to accept the enemy. They began to compromise with the tribes. And incidentally, when Israel went into the land of Canaan, God had already given the command to drive out the inhabitants. They were basically told to clean the land up, to deal with inhabitants. But Israel violated that. They begin to cohabit in a sense. They begin to tolerate. They begin to put up with the people of the land. And the next thing you know, they were in a state of compromise that would lead to further problems down the road. They started out with a great beginning, but they blow it. And time after time again, we can see the people in the book of Judges. Here's what happens. You have a cycle. In the book of Judges, there's a cycle. The people sinned. God would send a nation to punish them, whether it be, for example, the Philistines or whoever it might be. And the people would cry out to God. And then God would give them a judge or a leader. And that judge would lead them, would deliver them. I'm thinking of Gideon, for example. There's several judges mentioned. And so you have here sin, then you have repentance, then you have God giving them a judge, and then you have a time of peace for a while in the land, and then the people would lapse back into that same old sin cycle, and it would be repeated constantly in the book of Judges. It's a continual cycle. In the book of Judges, you see. Now, I think there's an application that can be made tonight to our own dear country. America, for example. Today, of course, we think of the tragedy that occurred 15 years ago. But what about America? I mean, we can draw some analogies here. What about America? America had an amazing beginning. We had an amazing beginning. It had been said this: our great nation was forged on the anvil of truth with a hammer of the Word of God and of men who held tightly to their convictions and who were held in the strong grip of their faith in Almighty God. Historically, that was true. There's no disputing of the fact that America was founded not as a religious nation, but as a Christian nation. There is no question but that God Himself had His hand on the formation of this country. And I bring this up tonight because we see in our own country a pattern that is a deadly pattern. We see America turning its back on God. It's already turned its back on God. I do not know what will happen when the November election rolls around. None of us know. It could be that we will get exactly what we deserve. It could be that God has taken His hand off of this country. We certainly deserve judgment because we thumbed our noses in the face of God. We have lived in sin. We have pushed aside the Bible. We have done basically what we want to do in our own eyes. We deserve to be judged. I'm praying that we'll not get a Hillary Clinton in. I'm praying that. But we may get her as judgment. Sorry, but I said it. It's that serious. It's that serious. You see, America needs to learn tonight some lessons from Israel. Some lessons from Israel. Like Israel of old, America has denied the Lord that formed us. We've defiled the land that God gave us. We've defied the law that God establishes upon. As a result, America is no more a Christian nation. We're no longer one nation under God. We, like Israel, have turned away from God who made us, who blessed us. And we've gone after gods of our own design. We followed the path of Israel. We are a nation that has experienced the manifold blessings of God in the past. But we are, as a nation, that I believe will face God's hand of judgment in the future unless there's an awakening, and I'm sorry, but I don't think it's going to happen. Whether you know it or not, we're facing a real crisis in our nation. We have a religion, but we have no fear of God. We have civilization and culture today that is built upon the shifting sand of human philosophy and wisdom and not the firm foundation of the Word of God. The problem behind our national problem is in the matter of doing from the standpoint of self-interest instead of doing from the standpoint of important interest. We're like Israel. Every man did that which is right in its own eyes. And that's where we are tonight in 2016 as a country. Now let's examine the book of Judges for a few minutes and continue to make some comparisons to our country. The nation enjoyed victorious conquest. Turn to chapter 1, verse number 1. Chapter 1, verse number 1. It says this: after the death of Joshua, It came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. God said, I have delivered the land into his hand. So what we see here is a fact that the land was delivered. God delivered the land. The Lord was the deliverer. The people fought. The tribes fought. They did battle. But it was God that was doing the deliverance. It was the Lord that gave them the victory. So, historically, they were blessed. When Israel went into the land of Canaan, the sky was the limit. All they had to do was to claim what God had already given them. Do you realize that when it came to the land of Canaan, the land promises had already been given by covenant to Abraham? In other words, God had already, through Abraham, established a covenant that Israel would have that land. It was a covenant promise. So all the people had to do was simply be faithful to the Lord, follow God's direction, and God was going to give them the victory because the land had already been given. They enjoyed God's providence. I have delivered. Did you catch that in that verse? I have delivered. They enjoyed God's protection. The Lord was with Judah and drave out. The word drave is used. Drave out the inhabitants or the enemy. That's verse 19. They enjoyed God's power. The Lord delivered them. He is a God of power. They enjoyed God's presence. They enjoyed God's presence. Again, I will remind you tonight, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God had promised to give the nation their homeland, and now, in the book of Judges, he is in the process of fulfilling that promise. Let me slow down a little bit tonight and simply say this. God's people, Israel, had God's hand of blessing upon them historically. They had been blessed, had been led out of Egypt, had been led into the land. God had already given the land to them. And time again, the Lord showed himself strong to the people of Israel. But they counted it for nothing. Where is Israel tonight? Israel tonight is in a state of spiritual darkness as a nation. A state of spiritual darkness, which leads me to say this. To whom much is given, much will be required. When the Lord blesses a people with revelation of truth, we are held accountable to that truth. When we are blessed with provisions, we are not to flounder those provisions and turn our back on God, or we will live to regret it. Let's track the history of America for just a few more minutes. March the 23rd, 1775. The Virginia Assembly was privileged to have the golden tongue orator by the name of Patrick Henry, who lit the flames of the American Revolution when he said, Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased with the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but ask for me, give me liberty or give me death. Thank God for our American patriots, including Patrick Henry. Also, it was Patrick Henry that said this, It cannot be too much emphasized or repeated too strongly that America was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not upon religions, but upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was stated by one of our patriarchs. Many would have us to forget that that is a part of our nation's history. You today would have to strain your ears in a typical classroom of America to hear much being taught by way of American history. Our young people today are being duped by philosophy, by secularism, and are being taught and told by so-called intelligent people that America does not have a Christian background. Furthermore, our young people are being taught by professors that have trashed the Constitution, that have no respect for the Word of God, and that demean the character and the quality of this nation's history. We wonder then, don't we, why our own state of North Carolina, as I heard this past week on the news, the risk that we run as a state is losing the election to the liberals because of the millennial generation that make up the college classrooms in the state of North Carolina. That could very well affect the direction of this election in November. The education system stinks. I would to God that more people that make up the millennial generation would do some thinking instead of looking for a handout. Look for something they can do by way of contributing to this country and not stamping upon the graves of the founders of this country and the people that have died for the freedom of this country. But they're brainwashed in our institutions. And that's the tragedy. George Washington said, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency." I want to say tonight, America's not an accident. She's a product of the sovereign, providential will of the Almighty God. She was founded on His Word. And down through the years, God has blessed America. This nation has enjoyed God's protection, God's power, God's promises, and God's provision. Many would love to rip these facts from the fabric of our nation's history, but they're still true nevertheless. America was a nation marked by glorious conquest. That cannot be denied if someone gets serious about studying American history. Secondly tonight, the nation, talking now about Israel, succumbed to gradual compromise. And that's how it begins. I read a sermon years ago by Dr. Vance Havner. Dr. Vance Havner had a sermon entitled "Getting Used to the Dark." And that's what we're doing. His logic, his thesis in that message was simply this: you go into a room that's relatively dark, your eyes will adjust, and you can begin to see, eventually, as your eyes adjust to the darkness of that room. And then he took that and applied that to be, that's how it is with our country, or churches, or people, or Christians in general. We're getting used to the dark. If we're not careful, the more we're exposed to darkness, the more prone we are to accept it. The more prone we are to endorse it. There was a time that churches used to preach harder against sin than they do now. But now we've accepted it. We're getting used to the dark. Vance Havner was right. He'd been dead for several years, but he was right back then. Israel, you see, is a pattern of compromise. Gradual compromise. It progressed. First of all, we see this. I don't have time to go through all the scriptures here, but the Canaanites were feared. Starting out, they were feared. Secondly, they were favored. Then thirdly, the Canaanites were frequented. You find Israel satisfied to dwell in the presence of the Canaanites. They were an enemy all along. God had said, "Drive them out." The Lord had said, "Don't compromise." How can light fellowship with darkness? Israel had nothing in common with the Canaanites. But as time went on, they accepted them. And that's a pattern of nations. That's a pattern of America. Compromise is a deadly thing. No wonder the Bible says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." What does that break down to meaning? It means that there was no fixed standard of right and wrong. When we do that which is right in our own eyes, there's no fixed standard of right or wrong. We're making the decision based upon how we see it. We're doing right according to what we think is right. We're allowing our lives to be governed by what we think. That's dispelling a standard, a pure standard of right and wrong. Now, that's where we are today as a country. Let me give you a few statistics here. You know that in 1960, a poll was taken that showed that 65% of the American people believed that the Bible was the inerrant Word of God. 1960. 65%. 1992, a poll was taken. This time, 32% still believed that the Bible was the inerrant Word of God. Shifted now from 65 to 32. Today, a Gallup poll, I pulled it up and looked at it on the internet preparing for this message. The Gallup poll indicates that only 28% of Americans believe the Bible is literally the Word of God. We're talking about from 1960 to 2016. One can only imagine what our opinion will be on the Bible 10 years from now if Christ tarries. In other words, 28% of the American people believe, based upon that, they believe that there is no perfect standard for judging right or wrong. If you do not believe the Bible to be the Word of God, you have no perfect standard. No wonder they're trying to kick the Bible out, because that kicks out the perfect standard. That's the reason why anything goes. That's the reason why we live any way we want to, and we ourselves determine whether it's right or wrong. Not based upon a standard of truth, but based upon our own standard. Our own standard. America is busy compromising with the Canaanites of our day. It breaks down to that. We cannot overcome the chariots of iron like Israel had trouble with in the book of Judges. There are Canaanites in the land today that we favor. We put up with. Whereas a few years ago, we didn't put up with them. I remember, for example, there used to be a time that I can remember that communists were considered enemies. And socialists were considered enemies. Because we fought communists in Southeast Asia. We fought communists in the Korean War. Because, after all, we also butted heads with the Chinese, didn't we? And we dealt with Russia even in Vietnam. There was a time that we used to think that those people represented enemies, but now we have them avowed communists and socialists in political office. And they're proud of it. One of them, of course, just went down, Bernie Sanders, but he'll tell you he was a socialist. There was a time that America would get hot around the collar. Wouldn't even consider a guy like that. But it shows how we've drifted. It's deadly. The pattern is a deadly pattern. We fear some Canaanites in the land, but there are others that we just do like Israel, we just kind of frequent. We spend time with. We've adopted the attitude that sin is not that bad anymore. We have allowed the walls of separation to break down, and now they're existing in many churches. And are you ready for this? And some of them are independent Baptist churches. My prayer for this church is this. The day that Chuck Peters retires, dies or whatever, and leaves this church, whether it be by death, retirement, or you kick me out, would you do me the favor, before you even consider another candidate, you make sure where that candidate stands doctrinally. You make sure that that candidate is a separated preacher. Someone that holds true to the foundations that this church cut its teeth on. I've seen it happen many times. Men will spend years of their lives in a church, and pastors leave, and next thing you know, a church winds up voting in somebody that's off on the Bible, that has another translation, or has broken down in standards, or starts bringing contemporary music in. It's happened. Churches are dropping like flies, my friend. Some of the greatest churches that have been upon American soil have been dissolved to nothing. And there's a lot riding on a history of a church. We cannot take it for granted, the history of Smith Grove Baptist Church. We cannot take it for granted the Smiths, the Knuckles, the Larimores, and those that poured their hearts and souls into this ministry and taught this church right and gave them the Word of God and was not ashamed of the King James Version of the Bible either. And I say don't jump ship. It's a tragedy when people spend their lives teaching and preaching and doing the right thing only to have it swept aside when someone else moves in. Please do not let that happen. It's happened too many times. If it takes you 5 years after this preacher's gone to find yourself a pastor, you're better off just instead of just to fill the pulpit as quickly as you can with a preacher, you're better off to wait. You're better off to wait. I've done lived long enough to see so much of this stuff happen, and I'm telling you from experience, be careful. Stay with the standards. Stick with the foundation. Don't repeat the history of a nation, Israel, for example. Do not do that. The nation reaped grave consequences, Israel did. Reap grave consequences. Where's Israel today? Oh, we know they were established as a nation, but where are they spiritually? They're not alive. The nation has not turned to God. They were delivered into the nations of this world. They were dispersed. I'm talking about God's covenant nation, Israel. They were dispersed among the nations because they wouldn't listen. They turned to idolatry. They got sent into the Babylon captivity, Syrian captivity. And then today, their Israel is in a state of darkness. They will, of course, one day look upon Him whom they have pierced, and there will be a conversion that will occur. But right now, that's not true. Now, I want to close out on this tonight. Look at our country. Learn lessons from Israel. Where are we tonight as a country? Militarily? We're weak. We're stretched to the limit. We're vulnerable to military attack. All of the while, our enemies are growing stronger every single day. Where are we economically? We're in serious trouble. People are struggling as they lose their jobs to China, to Mexico, to Vietnam. It was recently said that China could bring America to its knees without firing a shot. Through economic means, almost everything you see is stamped made in Japan or made in China. It used to be made in Japan more, but made in China especially now. Where are we militarily? We're weak. Where are we economically? Pressing $20 trillion of debt. What do you think of that? We don't even have enough time in a lifetime, most of us in our lifetime, to even count that far. Could you imagine $20 trillion? And I'll tell you, I hate to get so political, but there's a lot riding on this one. There's a lot riding on this one. Because what I see happening is if this one goes wrong, this church door could be closed. You think that's not true? You put that liberal, whose name starts with H in there. Don't want to call names. And let me tell you something. These weak-kneed, coward, so-called Republicans that sit back and do nothing, they ought to be kicked out of the britches. I went to war under one of them, and I have no respect for him now for that very reason. Again, I hope y'all, I guess you all understand tonight I'm a Democrat. I've never in all the days of pastoring ever got tread so deeply into politics, but this one scares me. Because I love my country as you do. And I'm passionate about this country. And I think our only hope tonight is in Almighty God. And you cannot have a self-serving person that's only interested in their own fame and their career leading this country. It's got to be someone that cares about America. Not ourselves, but America. Where are we militarily? We're sick. Where are we economically? We're too far in debt. Where are we culturally? We're fighting and losing battles in a cultural way. The divorce rate, for example, has quadrupled over the past 30 years. Teen suicides have doubled, and violent crime has risen 500%. One out of every three children is born to a single mother. In some cities, the illegitimacy rates are as high as 80%. That's where we are. Where are we morally? We are totally bankrupt. Our government spends nearly $200 million per year teaching kids how to use condoms. That's a fact. They use that same money to attack abstinence-based sex education. 56 million Americans are suffering from venereal disease of one form or the other. The policy of the left and the policy of the liberals was so great, why are we so sick as a country? Where are we spiritually? We're in a deplorable condition. The Bible and prayer have been removed from schools many years ago. The Ten Commandments continue to be attacked and relegated to the dustbin of history. The Supreme Court came down against the display of the Ten Commandments. That happened a few years ago. And by the way, God only knows what will happen to this country if we appoint any more liberal judges. Some say that the Ten Commandments, they're so warped in their thinking, they believe that the Ten Commandments might be dangerous for a child to read them. There's that mentality today, believe it or not. I don't know about you, but I'd rather take my chances with someone who's been exposed to the Bible, been exposed to prayer, been exposed to the Ten Commandments, than someone who has been taught that there's no such thing as right or wrong. We're under attack in the natural realm. Look at the hurricanes. Look at the earthquakes. Look at the floods, look at the tornadoes, the fires and the fierce storms that are afflicting every part of this country. Don't tell me this is just an accident. I just believe tonight God is trying to do something. I believe the Lord is already inflicting judgment upon this land. I know that I'm accused of being a bigoted, narrow-minded preacher, but I don't care. Call me what you want to. In fact, some will be reading this on the internet, I'm sure. Let them read it. I hope that'll help some. But I'll tell you, it's time tonight we wake up. There's no time to mandy-pandy around. There's no time to play games any longer. America's going to hell in a handbasket unless we turn back to God. And it's not the politicians that have the answers, it's preachers. It's men of God and women of God. It's people that believe in prayer. It's people that believe in the Bible. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's still in the book. And this rampant, ungodly sin, I feel sorry for people nowadays raising children in this land. Oh, look at what they're being exposed to. It seems like invariably by the time a child reaches teenage years, you have to work double time trying to encourage them to do the right thing, to not follow the fads of the time. It's heartbreaking. How many young people can you get to church in this day and time? The best way it seems that some are getting them is to bring them in through entertainment medias, but we can't do that. If you entertain people into church, a greater entertainment will pull them out of church. But my friend, if God, the Holy Spirit, and conviction in the Bible brings them in at last, but you and I, somehow, some way, need to get more involved in the lives of young people. It wouldn't bother this preacher at all if the next major projects we commit to in this church would be projects relating to youth ministries, because, my friend, if we don't do more for youth ministries, you know the consequences of the Smith Grove Baptist Church. Our hope tonight lies in perhaps what we can do in the lives of young people. But it does start with a home. It is so tragic that many of them have no background in the home, and the closest semblance they're getting to truth and spiritual training is in the church. It ought to start out in the home. The home ought to supplement and complement the church, but in many cases it isn't. But I say pray for the young people. Look at Israel and see the trend and be reminded that that's where our nation is tonight. You pray for this country. You pray for your church. You pray for this upcoming election. You do the right thing. And I've spoken tonight from my heart. I'm far from knowing it all. But I love this country, and I want to see the church survive longer if possible. But tonight, we need help from God. Let's bow our heads in prayer.